We're glad to see you at the gospel service tonight. Thank you for your presence with us. We're going to sing together some of the verses of the hymn 213. Was it for me alone, the Saviour left his glorious throne, the dazzling splendours of the sky, was it for me he came to die? 213, we'll leave out the middle verse, so 1 and 2 and 4 and 5. We'll ask you to stand as we sing, please.
What?
Let's just bow together in prayer. We'll come into the Lord's presence together. Our Father, we praise Thee for the opportunity just to wait before Thee. We thank You for the words that we've just sung together. We rejoice in the great truth of the gospel, that He died for me, my Lord and King. Pray, Father, that You might teach us a little more of our Saviour's love and death, even in this service tonight. We ask Thee to come and open the Scriptures to us. We're thankful, Father, we're able to gather together in this manner. We thank You we can gather freely without fear of persecution. We pray that that might ever be so, that this land and the civil and religious liberties with which it's blessed will ever be maintained and preserved. We want to pray, Father, that the influence of the gospel in this land will be extended. We plead with Thee, in the words of Isaiah the prophet, that You'll lengthen our cords and even strengthen our stakes. And we thank You, Father, that we're able to gather here tonight for the preaching of the everlasting gospel. We thank You for that great message of God's redeeming grace and of God's redeeming mercy. We pray, Father, that even though the story is old, that it might be ever new. We pray that it will come with freshness and blessing, even to our hearts tonight. We pray, Father, that those of us that are saved and know Thee, those that have been saved even for many years, we want to pray, Father, that our hearts tonight will rejoice as we think of our Saviour, as we consider Him and His death, consider the One that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Our prayer would be that You'll show us Thyself, come and reveal Yourself to us in this gospel service. We plead the prayer of the Greeks of old, our desire as we come here tonight and to open the Word of God and meditate upon it, is that we would see Jesus. We pray for a sight of Him. Give me a sight, O Saviour, of Thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought Thee down to earth to die on Calvary. We remember, Father, our gospel service. We bring it before Thee. We remember in Old Testament times there was the morning and the evening sacrifice. Remember how they were doubled on the Sabbath day. And Lord, we're glad that in the evening of Your day that we're gathered in Your house to bring to Thee the sacrifice of praise, those spiritual sacrifices that as believers we can present to Thee. And Lord, we think of the sacrifice of ourselves, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And we want to pray, Father, that that might be the result, even the outcome of the meeting tonight. Pray that we'll be spoken to and moved, even to such an extent that there will be a greater consecration, a greater dedication of ourselves in the service of the Master. Remember the great appeal of David, the building of the temple, who is willing this day to consecrate a service unto the Lord. Lord, we pray that You'll give to us that willingness of heart and mind to give our days and to give our talents and our service in the work of the Master. We ask Thee to remember all gathered tonight, even as we considered this morning. We're conscious, Father, of the burdens and cares that weigh heavily upon the hearts of Your people. We think of some, Father, with those burdens that are weighing down heavily upon them, even crushing their hearts. And we want to pray, Father, give to them especially the grace needed, the sustaining grace for these days. We want to pray You'll give strength, even in the words of the psalm that we sung. What an assurance that God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. We thank You, Father, that it's not that You will be with us in the future, but we rejoice that You're a present help, that You're with us now, even at this very time. Pray that each one will know that to be a reality, that it might be fulfilled for them. And Lord, again, as we're bowed in prayer, those things that are causing us concern and anxiety, we want to bring them to thee, and we want to cast them before thee, even tonight, cast all our cares upon thee. We want to pray, Father, undertake for each one in the week ahead. We pray for the guiding hand of God to be upon every member of this church, those decisions that have to be made for the family, those decisions that have to be made, Father, even with regard to the future in so many areas of life. We pray that you'll give help. We thank you for our motto text, that you've told us if in all our ways we acknowledge thee, that you will direct our paths. And it's for that direction, Father, to be given. We pray for direction for the work of God here. Pray for the office bearers. And we thank you for men that know and love the Saviour. We thank you, Father, for office bearers that are born again of the Spirit. And we pray that they'll be Spirit-led and guided. We pray for direction to be given, Father, in the decisions regarding the business, even of the house of God here. We praise thee for every opening you've given to us as a church, every department. Think of the many outreaches. And Lord, we acknowledge tonight that we need thee to be with us. Remember the psalm we considered last Sabbath morning, that except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. And Lord, we acknowledge tonight that our labours will be without any profit whatsoever unless you're with us and your good hand is upon us. And Lord, we commit this whole work to thee. We remember particularly the outreach planned for the summer down in Tynan. Thank you for the hall provided there. We pray, Father, that the little hall will be filled every night of the gospel mission. And Lord, we're praying especially bring in the lost, bring in the people from that area that are out of Christ. We pray, Father, for those folk even now that you'll be working on their hearts and giving them a concern, that you'll be moving by your Spirit. May it please thee, Father, even to visit that area before the mission begins. We ask thee to give tokens for good. Pray that there might be some saved from that village, Lord, even as a seal upon that gospel mission, even before the first meeting takes place, we spread, Father, every detail of the arrangements out before thee, praying for the help and guidance of God, and praying for the fire. Remember Elijah, when he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down, and you sent the fire. And Lord, it's for the fire that we pray. Send the power of the Holy Ghost, may it descend upon us. Even in the gospel service tonight, we pray, Father, in these gospel meetings leading up to that mission, that the Lord will be amongst us. And we pray, Father, that you'll put your seal upon these meetings. We pray that you'll begin to work in salvation blessing. We want to pray, Father, that there will be those, even in these gospel meetings in these weeks to come, that they'll be brought to Christ in salvation. We ask it earnestly tonight, specifically. We ask it unitedly as a congregation. Lord, visit our evening services with salvation. We ask thee to hear these, our prayers, and we commit the way ahead in this meeting now unto thee, praying that you'll come and guide us and bless every part of the meeting. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 98, please. This is Cecil Francis Alexander's hymn about Calvary. There is a green hill far away without a city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. Number 98, we'll keep our seats as we sing, please.
Where the dear Lord was crucified.
Take the scriptures, please. We're going to read together tonight from two portions of the Old Testament. Both portions in the books of Moses. We're turning first of all to the book of Genesis on the 22nd chapter. Genesis chapter 22. We'll just read a short section together. Begin at verse 10 of the chapter. Remember, this is the story, the account of Abraham taking Isaac to Mount Moriah. Remember, Mount Moriah is Calvary. Calvary is on the northern slopes of Mount Moriah. It is on Mount Moriah that the temple in Jerusalem is built. Remember that Isaac or Abraham was built the altar, and he's laid Isaac upon it. And in verse 10 it says, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram." And let me emphasize just the reference here to the ram. It's central to our Bible study tonight. "And behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." And then if you'll turn a moment or two over to Exodus chapter 29, the 29th chapter of the book of Exodus, there's a little section we want to read a few verses from there as well. Exodus 29, the verse 15. If you have a Bible with headings across the top of the page, it maybe says something like "The sacrifices at the consecration of the priests." So this chapter is all about the consecration of Aaron and his sons to the work of the priesthood. And Exodus 29, verse 15 says, and again note the reference to the ram, "Thou shalt also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram, and thou shalt slay the ram, and thou shalt take his blood, and sprinkle it round about upon the altar, and thou shalt cut the ram in pieces, and wash the inwards of him and his legs, and put them onto his pieces and onto his head. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savour, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. Then shalt thou kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar, and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him. And he shall be hallowed, and his garments, and his sons, and his sons' garments with him. And thou shalt take of the ram the fat and the rump, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and the right shoulder. For it is, notice this statement especially, for it is a ram of consecration. And one loaf of bread, and one cake of oil bread, and one wafer out of the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. And thou shalt put all in the hands of Aaron, and in the hands of his sons, and shalt wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And thou shalt receive them of their hands, and burn them upon the altar for a burnt offering, for a sweet savour before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And thou shalt take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration, and wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thy part. And thou shalt sanctify the breast of the wave offering, and the shoulder of the heave offering, which is waved and which is heaved up, of the ram of the consecration, even of that which is for Aaron, and of that which is for his sons. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons by a statute forever from the children of Israel. For it is an heave offering, and it shall be an heave offering from the children of Israel of the sacrifice of their peace offerings, even their heave offering unto the Lord. So we'll close just there, the end of verse 28. And we're sure that the Lord will follow with his blessing the public reading of his word. I want to thank you all for your presence with us. I want to welcome each one to our evening gospel service. We're thankful for your presence and fellowship in the service tonight. If you've come to visit, may the Lord bless you. We're glad of your presence. We're thankful for the children and the young people that are in attendance in the gospel service tonight. And may you be blessed, and may you know the blessing of the Lord. And we're thankful to those that are watching the service as well this evening on the live stream. We're thankful that you've been able to join us, and pray the Lord will speak to your heart through his word as well. Keep in mind the meetings, God willing, for the incoming week. Tomorrow morning at 10 in the church hall is the parent and toddler group. And then tomorrow night at 8 in the hall also is the ladies' fellowship. Mrs. June McComb from Banbridge is the speaker. She'll tell a little bit of her testimony, especially the story of how the Lord led her into the little ministry of making greeting cards to help the Lord's people, but also to raise funds for missionary work. She's been doing that for a number of years. She'll bring a wee message to us as well. And remember, she will have some of her cards for the ladies to see and to purchase. And keep in mind, if you have one that you would like her to make, a bespoke card, one made by special request, she'll be happy to take that order from you as well. So plan to attend the final night of the ladies' fellowship for this winter season. We encourage a good number of the ladies to be present, and tell others and invite them to come along as well. We encourage you to be present on Wednesday night as well, the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. The Reverend Ronnie McCracken, who served with the Messianic Testimony for a number of years as a missionary to the Jews. I served as a board member of the Messianic Testimony for a number of years during the time that we lived in Wales. Their board meetings were held down in the City of London. We generally travelled down every month to be present at those meetings. We had and still do have a great interest in the Lord's work amongst the Jewish people. And it was at that time that we got to know some of those folk and got to know Ronnie a little better. So we're glad he's going to be able to come along on Wednesday night. He'll do the Passover demonstration for us. You will enjoy that. It'll be a blessing. You'll find it very, very interesting. There's a lot to learn from it. So we do encourage you to set the night aside and plan to be present. Next Lord's Day, the 21st of April, 10:40, the Sunday School and Bible classes, 11:30 a.m. the morning service, 6:30 p.m. Our evangelistic gospel meeting. I hope to be preaching myself at both meetings, and we encourage you, please come along for the seasons of prayer before the meetings. Monday night week then, the 22nd, at 7:30 in the hall is the next meeting of the church committee. To emphasize to you the two extra nights of prayer that have been planned by the session, especially with the gospel mission in mind. So they're just in a little over 2 weeks' time, Monday the 29th and Tuesday the 30th, so the final 2 days of the month, 8 o'clock each night for an hour, and then we'll have our regular Wednesday night midweek prayer meeting and Bible study just to conclude that little series of special seasons of prayer. So set the nights aside, come along as many of those evenings as you can. Remember the missionary offering that was taken on Wednesday night past for Miss Elizabeth Edwards. So far, £610 has come in. We thank you for your very generous giving to our sister. Remember, you can still add to that offering if you haven't been able to do so as yet. And remember her prayer cards. They're downstairs on the table in the hall if you haven't received one. And just to emphasize the importance of covenanting monthly to our sister's support as well. Remember the new book entitled These Are the Names, the lives of some of those men and women that were used of God in the early days of our denomination, 25 in total in the book. And there's 25 chapters. In some cases, it's husband and wife that is dealt with in the same chapter. So it's priced $7.99. We commend the book to you. If you'd like one, remember all the copies we received have gone, but if you'd like one, please put your name on the list in the porch as soon as possible, just so that we know how many additional copies to order. I believe those are all the matters we need to mention to you tonight. 281, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Verses 1, 2, and 3 and 5, leaving out the fourth. So 1, 2, 3 and 5, and we'll stand to sing, please. Thank you. Let's take a moment just to seek the Lord to help us in the ministry of his word tonight. Father, we thank you for that sacred fountain of the Savior's blood. We rejoice in the day that you brought us to it by faith. We thank you that we've known and experienced the cleansing power of the Savior's blood. We pray that that will be true of all that are in this meeting, all that are listening to this service tonight. Pray, Father, there be none in our families that will be lost. We pray that the blood mark might be upon them. Remember that you said in Egypt, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We're conscious of the need of that covering, need to be sheltering beneath the precious blood of the Lamb. And Lord, we want to thank you for the word of God, for all that you've recorded in it for us. Remember, Paul said that whatsoever things were written before time are written for our learning. We pray that we might learn tonight from the Scriptures, especially learn about our Savior, learn about his sacrifice for us on Calvary. We remember that it says when he went to Emmaus that he expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. And Lord, our desire tonight above all else is that we would have a little sight of our Savior. We ask you to hear our prayers, and we pray that in this meeting the preaching of the gospel will result in the saving of the lost, for we claim the promise that it pleaseth thee by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Lord, answer these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 26, please, just a little before where we were reading from earlier, the 26th chapter. Our text is the verse 14. The first part of that verse, I'll read the whole verse to you. It says, "And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram's skins dyed red, and a covering above of badger's skins." I encourage you, take a little bit of time in the will of the Lord. Next Sunday night we'll look at the badger skins. Take a little bit of time just to read up about badgers in Bible times. They're not just as you would imagine them or what you're familiar with here in this land of ours. But we're going to think of the first part of the verse. "Thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram's skins dyed red." So remember, we're looking at the coverings of the tabernacle, those coverings that went over the holy place and the holy of holies. And remember that they're recorded for us in the Scriptures in this chapter, these first 14 verses of Exodus 26. The details are given, and they're recorded from the inside out, not from the outside in. Remember that everything in the Scriptures is for a purpose. There are no accidents. God breathed, God guided in the writing of his word. So there's one of the lessons in the fact that the details are given from the inside is that that is how God works, especially in salvation. It's not an outside reformation, it's the inside regeneration. So we come tonight to the third of the actual coverings of the tabernacle. The name is given for us in our text, "And thou shalt make a covering." It's specifically, it's just now when we come to the third, we have described them all as coverings, but it's just now as we come to this third one that in the Word of God it is specifically, very definitely, described as a covering. Do you remember the titles or the names that were given to the previous two? First, there was the tabernacle. That was the one of the fine twined linen. And then the tent. It was how the goat's hair, the covering of goat's hair, is actually described. So I want you to note that this ram's skins dyed red is specifically described as a covering. If you think of the actual material from which it is made, again, verse 14, it speaks of the ram's skins. It's one of those occasions when you need to just pay attention to the detail. It's very easy when you think of the ram or to think of the sheep to think of a fleece. That's not what the verse says. It's not the word that it's used. It says the ram's skins. So there's a contrast here with the previous covering. Remember, it was not the goat's skins. It was the goat's hair. And it was the goat's hair spun. So it wasn't actually that they skinned the goats and used the hair in that way. The Bible specifically tells us that the ladies took the goat's hair and spun it. So for the ram's skins to be used, that meant that they had to kill the ram. And they stripped it. They stripped the hide of this ram from it. And notice as well, again, another important detail, that the skins is in the plural. So it's the ram's skins. So there's many of them. We're not told specifically, we're not told definitely how many there were, but it's made clear to us that the plurality of the skins that were used in the production of this covering. If you think of the colour, the colour is very clearly stated. Verse 14, ram's skins dyed red. So it's not that they were naturally red. Naturally, they would have been white in colour, just like the wool, white as wool. But for the purpose for which they were going to be given, the purpose for which they were going to be used in the tabernacle, they had to be dyed. They went through the dyeing process. And the colour that the Lord told them to dye them was the red. Remember, they didn't get the red colour from the blood. It wasn't blood that was used to dye them. They took the little grub, the little cochineal, and they got quite a few of them. You can imagine how many would be needed to dye all of these ram's skins, and they crushed those little bugs, those little grubs. And it was the juice that came from the crushing. And remember how that reminds us of Christ and his sufferings, how he was crushed and wounded for our sins on Calvary's cross. I emphasize to you, especially the size of this covering. And I emphasize it to you because no size is actually given. That's a great contrast, a great difference from the previous two. Remember, when we come here to the final two coverings, the details are given in just one verse, whereas the previous two coverings were given in quite a bit of detail in the first 13 verses of the chapter, 6 verses for the tabernacle, and then 7 verses for the tent of goat's hair. So there's no dimensions, there's no size that is actually given. And no, I want to say to you that there's a lesson in that. I'll emphasize the lesson for you just a little bit later in the message, a little bit later in the study. But I think we can infer very clearly it covered the entire structure of the tabernacle. Remember, if it's called a covering, that's its purpose. That's what it is made for. That's what it is to be used for. So it would have actually covered. So it'll give you some idea of the size of this covering. And its position is important to us as well. This is the third of the coverings. So the black is below it. That's the goat's hair. And the badger skin is above it. And there's some significance in that as well, in the will of the Lord that we'll highlight for you in the message. So what is the meaning? What is the significance of the ram skins dyed red? There's three things especially, three great truths about Christ and his cross work that are taught in the Bible from these ram skins. And I want just to set them out for a few moments before you. First of all, there's the great truth of substitution. Remember that substitution is one taking the place of another. Sometimes people feel that words that are used in preaching are too big, too difficult to understand some of the gospel terms. that are set forth in gospel messages that are proclaimed, I can assure you that there's some words in books of theology that are much more difficult even to pronounce, let alone understand, than the words that are used from the pulpit. But substitution is a word that we should all know, all be able to identify with, even the children and young people. If you think of the word substitution in the sporting context, the setting of any particular sport, particularly that's played in teams, it is one taking the place of another. You hear in the football, the rugby matches and so on, of a substitution taking place. One person comes off and another goes on in their place. In the gospel, in the preaching of the gospel, in God's plan of redemption and salvation, substitution is especially one dying in the place of another. And you think of the ram skins. In order for those ram skins to be provided, the ram had to die. The ram had to be killed. You think of the red, dyed red. That reminds us of the sacrifice, reminds us of the blood. That was God's purpose in the color that was designated for this covering. It reminds us of his sufferings, how he suffered unto death in order to procure our salvation. So we have here, brethren and sisters, presented before us a dead ram. And in the Bible, the ram that died for others. And I want to emphasize that to you, make that clear. In the Word of God, whenever a ram died, was put to death, that ram was dying as a substitute. That ram was dying for others. The great example of that is what we read from in Genesis 22 this evening, the story of Abraham and Isaac there on Mount Moriah. Remember that the Lord told Abraham to take Isaac and offer him there upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. But the Bible tells us that the ram died in Isaac's place. Think of what it says. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering. And notice the words, in the stead of a son. In other words, the ram died in the place of his son. There was a substitution that took place that day on Mount Moriah. So I make it clear to you, brethren and sisters, the ram speaks of substitution. In that particular case, the ram died in Isaac's place. The ram died in the place of another. And so too with Christ. His death was a substitutionary death, or vicarious. That's another word that means exactly the same thing. That's a truth that is taught right throughout the Word of God. Think of what Daniel said, speaking about the Lord Jesus, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for his own sins. And that's a great truth, sums up the gospel truth of substitution well. He died. The word cut off means his death. When someone is cut off, remember they have died. And the Lord Jesus died, but he didn't die for himself. He didn't die for his own sins, for he had no sins. Think of Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Paul's words to the Corinthians, Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. So the substitutionary death, I want to emphasize that. And especially, particularly, very pointedly, I want to remind you, he died for you. He died in your stead, and he died in your place when he died upon Calvary's cross. So just stop for a moment and consider that great fact tonight, that great doctrine of the Word of God. You should have died for your sins. Remember, the penalty for sin is death, eternal death. Think of going to hell, the torments of hell, perishing in hell forever and forever. But the good news, men and women, is he died for you. He bore the punishment in your place. He was your substitute. So we see that when we consider the ram's skins dyed red. And can I ask, if there's one here tonight without the Saviour, will you come to him tonight? Will you come and trust the one that died in your place on Calvary's cross? There's some truths, a couple of truths, let me emphasise, just about the skins as we think of the great doctrine of substitution. I emphasise the size of the skins. Remember that none is given. They had no measurement. There's no measurement given to us in the Scriptures. And what that teaches us, men and women, is there's no limit on the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. What a truth that is. You think of the invitation that is given in the Word of God to those who are out of Christ. The invitation is, whosoever will may come. There's no limit placed upon the substitutionary work of Christ upon the cross. You think of as well of the sight of the skins. So if you think of the position here, I emphasise the position to you. It's the third. The black goat's hair is below. The badger skin is above. So as you think especially of the fact that these ram skins are under the badger skins, what that means is they were unseen. Unseen by the outside world. And that reminds us that the natural man does not see Christ's death as a substitutionary death. The unsaved person in his natural condition out of Christ, he does not see Christ dying in his place on Calvary's cross. Remember what Paul said to the Corinthians, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Remember the devil has blinded the minds of them that believe not. So there are multitudes in our world tonight and they cannot see the great truth of the substitutionary death of Christ. They think it was a mistake. And what they need is to be enlightened. They need to have their spiritual blindness took away, what John Newton spoke about in his great hymn of testimony, I once was blind, but now I see. So the ram skin then speaks about substitution. It also speaks about consecration. Remember what we read about in Exodus 29, at the consecration of the priests, the time that they were set apart for that great spiritual office of the priesthood, the ram was used. The ram was very prominent in the ceremony and the sacrifices. The details given there that we read in Exodus 29, there's also similar details that are recorded again in Leviticus chapter 8. In both Exodus 29 and Leviticus chapter 8, it is called the ram of consecration. Two rams. One was put to death as a burnt offering. The other was the ram of consecration. So the ram, men and women, as well as being associated with substitution, is also associated with consecration. It speaks of devotedness to God. A person who is devoted to God, devoted to his service, devoted to his will. And if you think of Christ, our Saviour, well, ultimately, he was the consecrated one. He was totally, he is really the only one of whom it could really be said, he was totally consecrated, totally devoted, totally surrendered to God and to his will. And that is true both in his life and in his death. If you think of Christ devoted in his life, he said, I must be about my Father's business. Do you have that desire day by day, primarily, to seek first the kingdom? Must be about my Father's business. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. He said, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. He was devoted in his life. The lesson is that the perfect life, the perfect humanity of Christ was completely consecrated to God. And so too in his death. Remember that he said he gave his life a ransom for many. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So I want to stress it to you. It's clear in the Word of God Our Saviour was totally devoted to God's will, totally devoted to our salvation. Isn't that a tremendous thought, tremendous truth? In all that he did in his life and his death, he was totally devoted to obtaining, procuring, purchasing our salvation. In John 17, in his great high priestly prayer, one of the petitions that the Lord Jesus offered was, "For their sakes, I sanctify myself." Remember, that word sanctify can be translated consecrate. So he was fully set apart. He was fully consecrated for his people, and especially obtaining salvation for his people. So I want you to see tonight, may the Lord help us to grasp it. May he give us eyes to see it, hearts to understand it. He gave his all, and he gave his all for you, especially for your salvation. And the question as we consider that, brethren and sisters, is what have you given to him, or what will you give to him in return for all that he has given for you? Think of Paul's great exhortation in Romans 12. "I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God," when you think of God's mercy to you, "I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." Remember the great contrast we've emphasized before between the sacrifice of the Old Testament and the New. Generally, the sacrifices of the Old Testament were dead, been put to death. God asks you to give him a living sacrifice, to give yourself to him. That particularly emphasizes the need to give yourself to him while you're still in health, particularly in youth, the vigor, the full bloom, the full energy of your life. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Because he gave us all for you, I want tonight to urge you, as you think of that, his consecration, I want to urge you to give your all to him, following his footsteps as far as is possible for a mere mortal to do, to be completely consecrated to God and to his service. We sometimes sing the words of the hymn, "I surrender all." They were written by Judson van der Deventer. Came from a Dutch background. He lived in Pennsylvania in the States. He was a supervisor of the public schools in Sharon County in Pennsylvania. And he loved the job that he had. He was well-liked and well-respected. But he had a great gift in evangelism. He had a great gift in personal evangelism too, speaking to people on a one-to-one. Many of his friends in the church circles urged him to give up his job and to go full-time in the work of God, full-time in evangelism. He struggled with it. He said a pivotal hour came, and these were the words that he used of what took place. He said, "I surrendered all." Those words became special to him, and sometimes after, he sat down and he penned the hymn, the words of the hymn that we're so familiar with. So, brethren and sisters, he gave us all. He surrendered all for us. May the Lord challenge our hearts to surrender all for him. I want to urge you to spend and be spent. Whatever days, whatever years, whatever health and opportunity the Lord gives to you, spend and be spent in the service of the Master. The third truth that the ram's skins dyed red teaches about the cross work of Christ is one of provision. The ram died to make a provision. The ram died to provide a covering. You know, sometimes the truths are so simple, they're staring us in the face, and we can pass them by. So the ram died to provide a covering. You think of the Garden of Eden, and think of the coats that God made for Adam and Eve to cover them. The Bible says that they were coats of skins. Remember, we're thinking here tonight of ram's skins dyed red. Well, the record in Genesis of the Garden of Eden is the first mention of skins that we have in the Bible. I want to highlight that to you. We're not told in Genesis what the animals were, but I think as we compare one scripture with another, in all probability it was the ram. As here at the tabernacle, what happened in the Garden of Eden is in the context of provision for sin. So the lesson is, men and women, that from the beginning, from the time of man's fall into sin in the Garden of Eden, the ram died, and the ram died to provide a covering for sin. And in the tabernacle, it is the same lesson. The ram's skins here provided a covering for the tabernacle. And remember the order. Keep in mind that there's the four coverings, and keep in mind especially the order, the divine order of these coverings. The black is below. Remember that we emphasized, we made clear to you that the goat's skins, that they were black. So the black is below, and the black is covered. So what that means is that the red covered the black. So isn't the message clear? The great gospel truth there, the blood covered the sin. Our sin, men and women, is covered. Not by fig leaves, not by the fig leaves of our own works and our own efforts, but our sins are covered by the blood of Christ. He died upon the cross, and he died to provide a covering. You know, it's interesting in the story of Noah, when it talks about the pitch that they used to seal the ark. The word that is used there is not the normal word for pitch. The word is kafar, which is the word that is used for atonement. Generally, maybe 70 times in the Old Testament, that is how it is used, as a covering. So it's reminding us of that great gospel truth. That's one of the pictures, one of the lessons that we draw there from the ark. But remember here in the tabernacle that the black tent is covered. The black tent is not seen. And that reminds us, men and women, that God does not see your sin. When you come to Christ and you're forgiven and your sins are cleansed, God does not see your sin. What a blessing that is to know tonight. There's an old hymn that says, although the accuser roar of ills that I have done, I know them all and thousands more, but Jehovah findeth none. Our sins are covered. What a great blessing. What a truth that is to ponder and to meditate upon. The psalmist put it like this: blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered with the precious blood of the Lamb. Notice how he begins that verse: blessed, or happiness. Remember, there can be no blessing. You'll never know blessing. You'll never know happiness. There's no greater blessing, no greater happiness than to have your sins covered by the precious blood of Christ. Can I ask you tonight, have you experienced it? Have you had that experience? Remember, if you haven't, you can have it tonight before you go home from this gospel service. If you're saved, if your sins are covered, brethren and sisters, then let me urge you to rejoice in that. May we ever rejoice in God's so great salvation, in all that the Lord has done for us. I'll finish just by pointing out that the priests in the tabernacle, when they carried out their service, they walked, they worshipped, and they worked. But they did all of those things under the covering, and under the covering of the blood. And there's a lesson there, there's a picture, a great typical picture, that without the covering of the blood, there can be no walk, there can be no worship, there can be no work that is acceptable before the Lord, before the Lord himself. So here, men and women,
is the great truth of the ram's skins dyed red. Three great truths about the cross work of Christ: his substitution, his consecration, and his provision. He died for you. We sang that at the beginning. Was it for me alone? The Saviour died or left his glorious throne, the dazzling splendours of the sky. Was it for me? He came to die. The great truth of substitution. He died in your place. If you come to trust him. Consecration. He gave us all, held nothing back. May the Lord speak to us as never before of the need to give him our all in his service. And then the provision, the covering. What a covering it is. Our sins are covered if we know Christ. Do you know that experience tonight? Remember that in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, on the night of the Passover that we'll hear a little bit about, God willing, on Tuesday night, they had to put the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel. Well, I see the blood. It was the covering of the blood that saved, the blood applied. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Is the blood mark upon you, upon your heart, upon your sin? Is your sin covered with the blood? I want to impress that upon you. There's nothing, men and women, that is more important than that. And if you know that experience, you'll be able to say with the psalmist that blessed or happy is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Number 96 is our closing hymn. Not all the blood of beasts and Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. So 96, and we'll stand as we sing, please. We'll just bow in prayer as we close. We're thankful for your presence with us tonight.
as this morning, I'll not go to the door as you're leaving. Be assured we're glad of your presence. Remember the meetings through the week, especially that special night on Wednesday evening, the Passover demonstration. We encourage you to come and to benefit from it. Thank you, Father, for the meeting tonight. Thank you for your presence, for the help that we have known. We thank you for the good word of God. We thank you for opening the scriptures to us. Lord, we praise thee for all that you've told us and taught us about our Saviour. We're conscious, Father, as we consider these truths of the greatness of his love and the greatness of his sacrifice. We think of that truth, no limit, upon the substitutionary work of Christ. We thank you, Father, for the greatness of the power of the gospel to save the vilest offender, the vilest of sinners. We pray that you might be pleased to do that, even through this service tonight. We pray you'll give us souls for our labours. And Lord, we're asking, even as we've considered these things, that as we go from your house, we'll ponder them, even as Mary did after the visit of the shepherds. Help us to ponder all these things in our hearts. And we pray that you'll give us a desire even to read, to study, to meditate upon them a little further. Our cry would be, more about Jesus would I know, and more of his grace to others show. We think of that challenge of consecration. Oh God, we pray that each of us will have that full surrender of ourselves and all that we are and all that we have unto Christ and to the extension of his kingdom. Be with us then as we go. Grant us your presence, your good hand upon us. And we pray that unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen. Amen.